From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Samantha Wright, filling in for Jim Godet. It's Idaho Matters. Happy Thursday, everyone. You know, coming up today, we're going to talk about wolves and grizzly bears. Idaho is considering its options after a federal court decision last week forcing the state to change its rules for wolf trapping over concerns that threatened grizzly bears could get caught in those traps. Here to talk about the decision are Suzanne Aisha Stone, director of the Idaho-based International Wildlife Coexistence Network, and Dallas Cudgel, wildlife and tribal policy director with the network. I want to welcome you both back to Idaho Matters.
We're so happy to be back. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Samantha.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about the lawsuit. Let's go back to 2021. When 13 conservation groups filed the suit, tell me what happened.
Well, essentially, we linked between the amount of grizzly that were being killed in Idaho, concerns for their survival, especially given how few grizzly actually occur in the state, which is part of their historic range, and the increased wolf trapping, killing, snaring throughout the state, which is what occurred in 2021 with the advent of Senate Bill 1211 here in Idaho, which essentially opened season on wolves statewide. And we've seen from, the trapping reports and others that a lot of indiscriminate killing is happening of other wildlife that are being caught in those traps. So it's not just wolves that it's being directed toward, but hundreds and sometimes thousands of other animals that have been killed over the years because of the indiscriminate killing of wolves in the state.
And these 13 groups have been fighting in court ever since 2021 to try and stop this. So now that we have a court decision, what does the decision say? It's not going to stop all trapping of wolves, correct?
It's not. It is only in portions of the state where we see the most presence of grizzly right now, so grizzly bear habitat that's known. That's Idaho's Panhandle, the Clearwater, the Salmon, and the Upper Snake regions. And it's only between March 1st and November 30th on public and private lands. So it does certainly provide an extra protection for grizzly, but it also gives some relief to wolves that are in those areas as well, because that's their denning period starting in late March, early April. And wolves were being killed in their dens as well as their pups and stuff as well. So this hopefully will bring relief for grizzly, but also potentially wolverine, mountain lions, black bears, to others that were being killed in these wolf traps.
And we want to talk about the wolf traps, but Dallas, I want to bring you in to the conversation. What did you think when you heard the court decision last week?
Well, I was quite pleased. I was, it's just a few areas of the state, but I think it'll make a big difference. And it is good news for grizzly bears, which are few in the state. It's really good news for wolves. And again, this will prevent a lot of non-target wildlife species from being caught in these traps during that part of the year in those regions of the state. So any relief that we can have for wolves in particular, or for all wildlife, because there is a lot of non-target species that do get trapped in these wolf traps. So any relief that we can get for grizzly bears and wolves, even if it's only in these portions of the state for the moment, is great. And it does cause the Fish and Game Department to, they will have to change some of their seasons. And I think they've begun to realize that their season for wolf trapping is going to have to change in these areas.
So let's take a look at these traps. Idaho's Fish and Game Director said, I think last week, Jim Fredericks, he said, quote, "There's no evidence of a grizzly bear injured or even caught in a legally set trap during our wolf trapping seasons," end quote. So, and this was a point of contention in the lawsuit during the court debates. So my question is, have grizzly bears been captured in wolf traps in Idaho? And then in other states, we know a lot of other animals have been caught. Do we know if grizzly bears have?
Certainly grizzly bears have. And the legally set part of that statement is a bit misleading, because the only difference between the traps and snares that were set that killed the grizzly bears or caught one that was not, that was able to be released unharmed. So that the other two, though, that led to the deaths of the grizzly that we know of, the only difference was that there was no name on the traps. Everything else about them was complied with Idaho law in terms of how traps and snares can be set for wolves in the state.
Well, let's talk about the traps themselves. I mean, these are traps for folks who aren't familiar with trapping. These are wool traps. They're set out in places, often wildlife corridors, and left. There's not like a sensor or someone there who says, you know, you animal, step away. I'm trying to get this other one. These are out there, and basically any animal can step in them, correct?
Including dogs. And these traps and snares are baited, so the scent is very attractive to wolves, which means that they're also very attractive to dogs. And they can be set within up to 300 feet of a campground in the state. They can be set within 10 feet of a public hiking trail. So we know of many dogs that have been caught, some have often killed, because these snares are pretty deadly. I mean, it doesn't take long for them to choke an animal to death. And most people don't know that they exist. There's no law requirement for them to actually post signs out there to tell us that these areas are dangerous for bringing our dogs into. And, you know, if you're not equipped with the right tools to release, to try to cut through those snares, you know, you can lose a dog within just a few minutes and not be prepared for it. And we've heard from many people that have. So it's, you know, it's heartbreaking what's happening on our public lands, and that just a few people's, you know, desire to kill through trapping and snaring is overriding the safety of the recreationists, the public that owns those public lands. That belong to all of us. And so it's definitely a concern that goes way beyond just people's feelings about wolves.
Go ahead, tell us.
Well, one of the other things that I think was recognized in the judge's decision is that even given the few number of grizzly bears, even one grizzly bear taken in these areas where grizzly bear habitat is, even one grizzly bear is kind of a major piece of the puzzle for the grizzly bear reintroduction and efforts and their populations. So the populations in Idaho are so few that I think the judge also realized that one's too many.
Good segue. We're speaking with Suzanne Asha Stone and Dallas Cudgel. They're both with the Idaho-based International Wildlife Coexistence Network about a recent court decision on wolf trapping in Idaho. Let's talk a little bit about grizzly bears. They're protected, right? Under the Endangered Species Act, they're threatened. Is that correct?
They are protected under the ESA. And however, you know, Idaho is a pretty vast place. And we don't have a lot of, you know, people working in terms of law enforcement. Some of the, even like the state folks that work in law enforcement, they can cover it easily areas up to like 1,000 square miles. And it's you know, pretty tough for being a bear in that backcountry here. We know of, you know, many bears that have been killed over the years. We don't necessarily know when and how and who killed them. But we do know that they do make it to Idaho and then either disappear or found later having been killed.
And Dallas, you pointed out there just aren't very many of them.
Yeah, that's correct. Their territory is not really established yet, and that's part of the reason why they're listed as and protected as threatened. And so until they can establish, you know, some meaningful territory in habitat that's prime for in these same areas that this decision restricts wolf trapping in this prime grizzly bear habitat until they can reestablish. And you know, we don't have any known dens in Idaho. And so until they can get a really good foothold on their historic habitat range and get some denning going on, it's really important to not mistakenly trap one of these grizzly bears. And again, it's hard to it's hard for officials who are covering a vast area to even know where they are and protect them in any other way as well.
Last week, as I mentioned, Idaho's Fish and Game Director Jim Fredericks said that they were disappointed in the decision. We've asked them to come on the show, and right now they're considering their legal options. Fredericks did say that he believes the decision is wrong, quote, based on the law and on the ground reality. So I guess my question is, do you think this is a victory for grizzly bears? Does this mesh with what you see on the ground?
Dallas, I don't know if you want to jump in there first, but I'm happy to also talk about what we're seeing on the ground with wolves.
Yeah, I think this also can lead to some other states in the area sort of looking at it in, as well. And we have, Idaho, Wyoming, and Montana. All of those states have prime grizzly bear habitat. And I think that it is a victory for both wolves and grizzly bears in this case, that they're at least protected in these areas.
Yeah, and then Samantha, just what we're seeing with the wolf trapping and snaring that's going on in the state, I mean, there's actually a bounty in place, which I never thought I'd see in my lifetime. You know, you think of the old Wild West when wolves were eradicated from the region and grizzly bears were, you know, almost completely wiped out. You know, that we're even seeing this return of bounties, you know, thousands of dollars, and even on you know, pups in the den, like animals that have never been hunted in the state of Idaho when they were a protected species. These animals are also being killed. And it just, there's such an aggressive war against wolves here in Idaho that I'm really concerned that we will see the loss of wolves, the wolf population again during my lifetime. And, you know, we've only had them back on the ground for a couple decades now. So it's tragic what's unfolding with wolves, and it's inhumane. These traps, these animals can be suffering in these traps for days. And we've seen lots of the reports of animals that are maimed, that have had to chew their leg off to get out of the trap, that have suffered with, you know, things like the snares embedded in their necks. And it's horrific. And this is happening on our public lands. I mean, this land belongs to us, and we have like a responsibility to the wildlife that are out there. And we're living in a time when biodiversity around the world is declining at such rapid rates. So to see this complete disregard for wolves, for their important role that they fill in our ecosystems, and you know, just the chance of seeing the loss of these species, this species again, when the American people have spent so much effort and time and money trying to bring them back, and then to have Idaho just wipe them out again, you know, it's heartbreaking.
Suzanne, that's a very bold statement, that we may lose wolves altogether in Idaho in a very short period of time. And I have to say, you know, you and I have been talking about wolves and wolf reintroduction and all through the process for many, many years. So you have kind of your finger on the pulse of wolves in a way. It's a little shocking to hear that.
Yeah, I think that people don't realize just how vulnerable they are. And, you know, it was less than a century ago that we completely, like, wolves were the most widespread large mammal across North America. And in just really a short time period, across the West, they were completely wiped out. There were no wolves left at all, where there had been hundreds of thousands of them at one point. And, you know, now we have such more sophisticated ways of killing them. And then you add the bounties, which now, you know, Idaho's pumping millions of dollars into killing wolves. Aerial gunning, there's trapping and snaring, there's, you know, night scopes, drone hunting by drones, and the, you know, there's cameras in the backcountry that help people understand where the wolves are, where they're denning. They really don't stand a chance if they don't have protection. And what we've seen from Idaho is that they don't have protection at all, and that the state has no low number that they're willing to stop at. We've asked time and time again from the Fish and Game Department, and there's no even thought as to trying to prevent all of the wolves from being killed. And I think there's no really way of counting accurately the number of wolves, especially when we have so few in number across the state. But I'm even hearing from, you know, folks that are so familiar with the background, backcountry, the Frank Church, directors of agencies that are working on wolf management, and they're not seeing wolves in the places that we've seen them, you know, reestablish during the last 20 years. So we're losing a lot of them.
And it's also interesting that Director Fredericks said this decision wasn't based on science. I would argue that the recently produced wolf management plan for the state of Idaho is not based on good science. One, they're not counting wolves in a manner and a method that is accurate. And two, they're interested in managing wolves to a population as low as 350 wolves from a population that was about to, looks like it was about to plateau at just under 2,000, not that many years ago. And so managing for 350 to 500 wolves for the state of Idaho and some of the most prime wolf habitat, as well as grizzly habitat, is genetically isolating the population. And that is one of the steps to extinction, is this genetic isolation of this population that could sink to 350. That's not a viable population for a thriving, robust wolf population.
So what's next? As we said, Fish and Game is considering possible legal options, changes coming to wolf trapping, but not ending that. What's the next steps for you and for environmental groups? We've got about 2 minutes left.
We are currently, evaluating and have issued a 60-day notice of an intent to sue with a number of other groups for the most recent U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service decision to not relist wolves across the Northern Rockies. We feel that that was a political decision that was not based in good science. And so I think you will be seeing a challenge coming from many different quarters from that, from a lot of different environmental groups that have been working a long time to restore wolves to this region. We're not through with this fight at all. I think it's sad that it's come to that, especially when Idaho stood there in front of the Fish and Wildlife Service in public testimony saying that they were going to manage wolves exactly like they do black bears and mountain lions. And yet that is exactly what they haven't done. And you know, we have somewhere in the neighborhood of 5,000 or more mountain lions in the state. We have in the neighborhood of probably 20 to 35,000 black bears. And there's no bounties on them. There's no year-round hunting. There's no aggression towards the species and trying to exterminate it as quickly and as widespread as you can. So Idaho's really dropped the ball and has betrayed what we, you know, felt was a hopeful thing, that they would take over and responsibly manage wolves, seeing what had happened in the past. But we've seen anything but that happen. And it's disappointing, but it also tells us that Idaho, the state, should not be in charge of managing grizzly at any point, because we cannot trust that the state is going to adhere to its word.
We've been speaking with Suzanne Asia Stone, director of the Idaho-based International Wildlife Coexistence Network, and Dallas Cudgel, tribal outreach and environmental policy director with the network about a recent court decision on wolf trapping in Idaho. And we have invited Fish and Game to come on Idaho Matters anytime. I want to thank the both of you for coming on, explaining the decision, and giving us more information.
Thanks, Samantha. We really appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, thank you, Samantha.
Thanks for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Samantha Wright. We'll see you tomorrow.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.